Amen. Open your Bibles with me this morning to John chapter number 14. Amen. One of the most familiar passages of Scripture in the Bible. We all know this passage and we love it. Amen. John chapter number 14. John chapter 14. Amen. John chapter 14 in your King James Bible. You got your place? All right. John 14, Jesus said these words, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen me. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." I want to preach a real simple, basic message this morning on that first line that Jesus spoke, "Let not your heart be troubled." We live in a troubled society, in a troubled time. We happen to be living in probably the most troublesome time of the world has ever known. I know that there's been times in history past where there's been some bad things that's happened. But I believe in 2013, worldwide, is probably the most troublesome time that the worldwide has ever known. We're going to see trouble. We're going to see trouble regardless of what the TV preachers tell us. The TV evangelists will tell us that everything's getting better and everything's getting sweeter and it's going to get gooder and gooder, but it ain't. It ain't going to happen. We're troubled on every side. It bothers us. It bothers me what I see. I know the Lord's going to take care of us, but still, as a human being and as an American, I've always loved America and I've always been proud to be an American. It makes me proud to see the flag, but it still bothers me. It upsets me every day. There's not a day goes by that I watch the news and it don't bother me. It bothers me. It bothers me when I turn on the news and I watch and I see what our Supreme Court justices are doing, what our president's doing, what the Congress and the Senate's doing, and what our government's up to, and I see what Americans are doing and what Hollywood's producing, and I see what our common man is accepting. It bothers me. We've accepted a new morality in America, a new acceptance and a new tolerance. Families, what families have become. Parents raise families completely different now. Folks depend on the government to raise their kids. People stand out in the dark waiting for the government to pick up their kids and transport them, to train them, to teach them on everything under the sun. I was riding through the country over here the other day on my way to work. Yeah, I work. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. People act like, do you have a job or are you just pastor? Bless God, I don't see you do it. Jump on in, try it. I go to work every morning before dark. Before it gets daylight, I go to work before breakfast. Boy, I got quiet right there. I leave my house before it gets daylight, bless God. Yeah, I come through here, and I ain't picking on nobody. I come through here, and there's people outside before daylight with their kids waiting for the big yellow bus to come get them, and I ain't picking on anybody and putting them on that bus. I thought, ain't it strange that people is putting their kids on a bus to haul them off somewhere to a government-run entity to teach them kids God knows what for 7 hours, to teach them that they came from monkeys, and to teach them that it's all right for two men to get married, and to teach them it's all right for two girls to get married. That's what we've come to, people. And then they're going to bring them and set them back off, and that's what we just brainwashed. And mom and daddy ain't got no control over what the kids are being taught. I know somebody's getting a little bit, starting to squirm a little bit, but I'm going to preach this morning. Amen. Amen? Families are unruly. Moms and dads act like they don't even know what to do. It's trouble, brother. We're living in a troubled society. Hey, there was a day when it came natural for parents to know how to be parents. That used to be when a woman had a baby, bam, she knew how to be a mama automatically. She didn't have to go to the library. She didn't have to go to the bookstore and buy a book to know how to be a mama. She knew automatically when the baby was 18 months old how to smack it and say no. And I don't remember buying no book. You're kidding. Amen? Children, moms and dads knew how to raise their kids. It just came automatic. Children grow up void of manners and respect. Parents know nothing of boundaries, control, and discipline in this society. We was at the store the other day. We was somewhere, I don't remember where we was at, and there's a guy about this tall, much bigger than me, had a little old kid that long. About the size of Clint's little girl, had her up over his shoulder, and that kid was kicking and screaming and raising, you know what, walking to the store, and you could tell he's just biting his tongue, didn't know what to do with it, carrying it out of the store, and just went to his car and just got in the car and sat down. And that kid's raising all kinds of, you know, 50 years ago it wouldn't happen. Amen? We were sitting at Cracker Barrel 2 weeks ago, and there's a kid doing that same thing, sitting behind us screaming and squealing like a pig with his throat cut. And Daddy got up, went outside with it, and Mama ate. Daddy came back in, and he said, I ate. Mama went outside with it. You think my daddy done that? But he'd have ripped me, he'd have tore me from Dan to Beersheba in front of the waitress and everybody. He'd have said, excuse me, ma'am, let me half kill this brat, and while you're at it, fill my tea back up. He don't need nothing. He ain't eating today. Amen. Yeah. I have much more control over my dogs at my house than people do over their kids. Amen. I ain't kidding. I do. Come up to the house. I'll show you. The homes run backwards from the Bible. Most people date like they're married, and married people act like they should act when they're dating. You ever notice that? People that's dating are all over each other. All over each other, handling each other, touching each other, and kissing, running their tongue down each other's throat while they're dating. And when they're married, they don't even sit in the same, they don't even drive the same car to church. Yeah, you're getting preached to now today, brother. That's right. Hey, when you're married, when you're supposed to act like that, slobbering and kissing all over each other, that's how I keep my kids away from me when I don't want them around. I start smooching on mama. It took me years to figure that out. Get them out of the house. Hey, yeah. Yeah, I know. You know you're doing it. They have sex till they're sick of each other, and then they get married and fight, and then they get a divorce and fight over each other and their stuff and their houses and then their kids because they never really had a decent relationship. Amen, that's right. Kids grow up, they don't know nothing. They don't know the meaning of the word wrong. No one in America hardly knows the meaning of words like sin, adultery, and fornication. There's no structure in the American home because there's no Bible in the American home, not even in the so-called Christian home. How many Christians turn off the cell phone, the TV, or the computer at night and read their Bible with their kids and have prayer? we play ball, we attend PTA, we have band practice, civic organization, take kids to dance, beauty pageants, hunting, fishing, vacation, but never teach them to have a real relationship with a real God. Kids know about their favorite ball players, their favorite band, but you can't find one child in this county who can name the entire books of the Bible or even tell you who the two disciples were. And what's worse, their parents can't even do it, and this is a Christian community. You can go to any church in this county and walk in any Baptist church and say, somebody here stand up and name the disciples. They can't nobody do it. They can't nobody in this church do it. Amen. Oh, yeah, we're skinning hinds today, ain't we? This ain't even what I was going to preach. I ain't gotten to point number one yet. Amen, brother. We're talking about what's wrong with our country, brother. We know nothing about morality. We don't know nothing about structure. We don't know nothing about the Bible. We're raising our kids completely opposite of this last generation. And then we wonder why they end up in jail and on Skid Row and drugs and pregnant and all this other stuff. It's because we've raised them backwards from what the Word of God says. And that's why our church ain't filled up. People come to visit and they can't take it. That preacher's crazy. I am crazy, but I'm telling the truth. Pick the Bible up and show me where I'm wrong. I'm troubled about families. I'm troubled about government. Taxes going up. Somebody texted me the other day and said, I got a raise. I said, the tax thing's different, and I made $32 less on my check. How about that? Thank God, Mr. Obama. Thank you. I appreciate that. Taxes going up. People's making less money. Obama's saying things are getting better all the time. We're going to take care of your health and take away all your constitutional rights. Rumors are forcibly taking our guns away. I've been hearing about they're going. They're already practicing home invasion about taking our guns away from us. You been hearing about that? Same sex, killing babies, asking movie makers' opinions about lawmaking decisions. How about that? Asking Hollywood what they think. Crazy, man. Border problems, can't buy anything, can't read instructions. You can't even buy anything. You try to fix a TV dinner now and read the instructions. If you can't speak Spanish, you don't know how to boil water. I tried to fix a pack of macaroni the other day and couldn't because I can't Espanoli. I ain't kidding. I had a pack of macaroni and didn't know how to boil it, had to put it back in the cabinet because I speak English. It's crazy, brother. Churches. I'm troubled about churches. Listen, people, I wish it was camp meeting all the time, but it ain't going to be that way. I wish it was Jubilee. That's why I love it. That's why I get excited. When it comes first of the year, Jubilee's coming. In just a few weeks here, it's going to be home, brother. I can't wait. Brother, we're going to have us a time. We're going to shout her out. We're going to have some preaching and singing. It ain't going to be like this morning, which was rough as sandpaper. It's going to be glory time. It's going to be shouting time. We're going to have us a good time. Amen. I bet y'all looking forward to it because I ain't going to be preaching. I can't wait. Our preacher ain't going to be preaching that weekend. I might just fake all of you out. I might preach every service. Amen. I might have a whole bunch of people on the lineup. I might preach every time and give them the love offering. You should hear what churches are looking for in a pastor. Preaching is almost never a prerequisite. Here's what they're looking for. A counselor, administrator, teacher, music major, a college degree, a family man, a young, energetic man, a visionary, a man of wisdom and guidance, a man that is gifted with children, but rarely do they ever ask what kind of Bible does he preach out of, or even if he can preach. They never ask anybody if he can preach. What kind of preacher is he? Can he preach? They want to know what kind of degree he has, what school he went to, what kind of seminary training does he have. It's crazy, brother. What kind of mentality churches have nowadays? They go through a stack of resumes that high. That resume don't tell you nothing about that man's preaching. They don't want preaching. They want a positive, feel-good worship that makes them feel good about themselves. What produces shallow, selfish, spiritual, carnal Christians. They want beautiful sanctuaries and soft preaching. They want entertaining music and speakers that uplift their spirits. And they want worship like a concert and all that stuff. But brother, I want to tell you, we need old-fashioned gospel preaching that produces real, real results in our churches. It's almost over is what I'm trying to tell you. The only entity on this earth that has any hope is the church. But Jesus said, don't be troubled That's what I'm getting to. This is my message I'm trying to get to this morning. He said, let not you be troubled. Don't you get troubled sometimes? Don't you get discouraged? Don't you feel down? Don't you feel like we're fighting a losing battle and we're just going in circles? What we believe and what we stand for sometimes, it just seems like it's almost useless. It's almost like we're fighting a losing battle. He said, don't let your heart be troubled.
Amen.
I want to say, first of all, he said this. Don't let your heart be troubled because, number one, he said, I predicted it. He said, it's going to happen. He said, look at verse 1 and verse 2. He said, I predicted it. He said, don't your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He said, the one that started this is going to finish this.
Yeah.
Amen, brother. He said, God's still in control and still in charge of this mess.
Yeah.
He said, God let this thing get cranked up, and God's going to shut her down, boys.
Yeah.
Hey, brother, listen. I didn't say God put this stuff in the mess it's in, but God started this thing off in the Garden of Eden, and he let man make the first choice, and brother, God's going to shut it down in the end, and brother, God's in charge, and brother, the Bible said God sets kingdoms up, and God plucks them down. And brother, God's in control of everything in between. Brother, listen, he is the source. Brother, the Bible said the Lord has his way in the whirlwind. God is the source of all things. God said, Jesus said, he said, I predicted it. It's going to happen. He said, it's going to happen. I predicted it. You're going to have trouble. He started it all. He'll stop it all. That's why the Bible keeps telling us not to worry. Because he said it's going to happen. Why do you think he said not to be troubled? Because he knowed it's coming. Why did he say don't worry about the storm? Because he knows the storm's coming.
Amen.
Amen. Why do you think when a nurse gets ready to pop you that needle, she says, here comes a little stick. And it feels like a 2x4 going in your rump. Here comes a little bee sting. I ain't never had a bee sting feel like that. Here comes a little stick. I'd go ahead, sis. He ain't bother me. I just brace myself because I know it's coming. It ain't no little stick. They're just trying to warn you. We're fixing to hit you it feels like a missile, you know. But they got to say that so you know something's coming. But they don't want to alarm you and scare you too bad. They're just letting you know, hey, a needle's coming, Jack. I mean, what are they supposed to say? This is going to hurt really, really bad. I got a needle this long and it hurts and this medicine's on fire. It's going to hurt.
Amen.
You big baby. No, they ain't going to say that. It's going to come a little stick. Bam! Now when she says stick, and then when she says, it's in. Hey, and that's what Jesus was doing. He said, let not your heart be troubled. It's coming. It's coming. You're going to have it. But don't let it worry you. Because he just let it start, and he's going to stop it. That's the source. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:8, he said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. He said, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. And he goes on down, on down, on down. Verse 17, he said, for our light affliction. He said, that's just a light affliction. How in the world could a man say something like that? He said, oh, that's just a light affliction. Ain't no big deal. That's the source. And we see the soberness of it. The soberness of it is when the storm, when you come out of a storm, you know the blessing of a storm is when you come out of a storm, the sun starts popping back out. And guess what? The good thing about the sun is it didn't go nowhere. It was just behind the clouds somewhere. It was up there. It was still burning bright as ever. I heard about this preacher that was up in this control tower one time. He went up there to visit his son, and his son got a job at a control tower. He was just standing around looking. He'd never been in a control tower. And he was watching this watching this radar on these little, you call them blips, I think. And he was watching this blip, blip, blip on the radar screen. And he said, what are those things? And he said, these three blips right here are three different planes. And this big old mass on there, they said, this is a storm. And that guy said, there's these three planes are in the same storm. And he said, they're all three in the same storm. And he said, this plane right here, said he's flying under the storm. And this plane right here is flying above the storm. And this plane right here is flying right through the middle of the storm. And he said, what are they going to do? And he said, nothing. He said, what are y'all going to do? And he said, nothing. We're just guiding them and telling them the coordinates and everything. He said, in just a few minutes, all three of them will come right straight through it. and said, every one of them will come out on the other side. And said, that old preacher started going, whoa, glory to God. And they looked around at him. He said, that's the old preacher right there. He said, that's the way our life is. He said, whether you're going under it or over it or through it, you're still going to come out on the other side. They asked an old black guy one time, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? And he said, it came to pass. And he said, what does that mean? He said, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. Brother, no matter what you're going through or how bad it is, it's going to pass sooner or later. Hey, brother, no matter what it is, how bad it is, sooner or later, it's going to clear up. No matter how bad the storm is, sooner or later, the clouds has got to roll back and the sun's going to shine again. Winter time's going to be over one of these days. That's the soberness of it. The sun behind the clouds, what this world's coming to. People say, what's this world coming to? I know what it's coming to. It's coming to an end. That's the pure, cold, hard facts. Preacher, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? People get the room like Chicken Little. Just calm down. I know what's going to happen. It's going to come to an end, but we're leaving. The earth's going to go up in smoke, people. Then you see the safety of it, the soberness and the safety. He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. I mean, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. He's going to take care of me and you. Amen. He predicted it. Secondly, he said, I provided for it. Look at verse 16. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. How long? Forever. How long is he going to provide for you? Forever. Listen, I've been in this since, some of y'all been in it longer than I have. And sometimes it seems like it's about over. But you know what? He's going to provide for us forever. He said, he said, this is what it is. It's a new promise, a new potential, a new power, and a new presence. He said, there's another comforter is coming. And he said, they said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He said, I'm leaving. They said, what are we going to do? He said, I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to provide for you. Let me show you an illustration. I got this bottle of water right here. He said, I'm leaving. Can you catch this? This is a bottle of water. This represents the Lord. He said, I'm going away. It's gone. They said, what are we going to do? I'll send you another comforter. Here's another one just like it. He said, he's just like me. Bodily, he was gone. But guess what? There's another one just like him. I'm still drinking. Man, that tastes just like heaven. I'm still filling up. Hey, it's just like Jesus. Wait a minute. Yeah, it's just like he's still here. Are you kidding me, brother? Why would a man want to give up and quit? Hey, he said, I'm going to provide for you. He said, that's a new promise. He said, I'll receive you unto myself. Listen, brother, he said, that's a new promise. He said, I'm going away. There ain't nobody ever had what y'all going to have. He said, the Old Testament prophets, every once in a while the Holy Ghost would come down and light on them and bless them. But he said, this time I'm coming back in the form of the Spirit and I'm going to live inside of you forever. Hold on a minute. Let me shout right there. Give me that another. Y'all got any of that? Praise God. That's good stuff. He's gone away, but he said, I'll send you another comforter. And he said, I'll be with you. That's the new promise and the new potential is. Verse 14, 15, he said, whatsoever you shall ask, he said, I'll give you.
Amen.
And when you get thirsty, guess what? Another drink.
Amen.
This is getting fun. A new power. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That new power. You know, let me tell you something. That power is when you do things that you think you can't do. I didn't used to always be a preacher. Some of you didn't all used to always be a singer. Some of you sitting here could be singers. Some of you sitting here could be in the choir. I can't sing. Some of them can't either. That sounds bad, don't it? So, listen. Hey, when I first started preaching, I couldn't preach a lick. Somebody's sitting there thinking, he can't now. But you know what? I gave it everything I had with what I had. Preach anyhow.
Right.
Amen? That's right. And you know what? You know what's strange to show you how the power of God works? There's times we've been on visitation. We went out there and sung at Walmart that day when, you know, it was kind of a cloudy, cold day. We went out there and sang. But when we got out there and got started singing, we started feeling pretty good, didn't we? And the longer we was out there, the better we started feeling. And after we got out there and got to getting into it, we kind of wanted to stay a while, didn't we? Let me give you an illustration. Y'all remember a while back when I was sick and I hurt, my leg got messed up and it still ain't well yet. And I'm up here limping around. And then remember I got my ribs hurt. I believe I was under satanic attack there for a while. And I had two dislocated ribs. Y'all don't realize how sick I was, but I laid on the couch for 4 weeks and couldn't move. And I don't want no pity. I ain't said it for that. If you ask my wife, I laid on the couch on my left side and then slept on my left side and the bed couldn't move. I couldn't turn over at night. I'd get in the middle of the night two or three times, moaning and groaning like a dying man, like a dying calf in a hailstorm. Unto the Lord, I couldn't go to the store. I couldn't get out of the house. There was days and nights that I could not go out of the door except to get in my car, come to church. And I had to sit up on the edge of the seat, and lean up on the dashboard for her to drive me to church. Unto the Lord, I was in so much pain. God help me, I was in so much pain. I thought I was dying. You ever had a broke rib? Everybody ever had a broke rib? It's an ungodly pain, ain't it? You think you're dying. I've had broke arms, broke legs. I'd much rather have my leg broke than have broke ribs. And I thought, I can't make it. I missed church one night, one Sunday night, that I just could not make. But I'd get here and sit on the edge of the pew. Y'all saw how much pain I was in. But there's something about it once I got up here. And y'all know breathing is the hardest thing to do when you got broke ribs. When I get up here and get started preaching, something would happen. Lord, just give me power to preach. And I get cranked up, son. It's like the Lord would go, whoop! Wow! And I get started, buddy. And it's like the Lord just kicked me off. Yeah! Take off, boy! And I'd go wild like an ape. Go crazy. And man, I made for about 30 minutes. I was feeling right. And by the time I'd get done, I was like, and she'd get me in the car, and I don't never let nobody drive my old truck, you know, my old red truck. And I one day let her drive me home in it. Y'all believe that? I couldn't believe I let her drive it. Drove me home. I was a nervous wreck. I was in pain. I was taking nerve pills and drinking liquor all the way home. Terrible. But here's what I'm saying. That's the new power God will give you. You say, preacher, I feel bad. I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can go to church. I know I'm the same way. You come to church, you're sick, got a sore throat or headache. But if you'll push yourself a little bit, that new power God gave you, you'll be surprised how much better you'll feel once you get here. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. The power God will give you. If you'll go out on visitation and start moving around a little bit, God will empower you with the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's right. I said it. We're Baptists. Yeah, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. That's right. I don't care what they call us, brother. That's what the Bible says. He would empower us with the Holy Ghost. And that's what we are. We want to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what we need to empower us to do the work of the Lord. Amen. He said, I predicted it and I provided for it. Number three, look at verse 2. And he said, we're going to back up to verse 2. He said, I not only did I predict it and provided for it, but he said, I'm preparing it. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Here's what he's preparing. He's preparing a residence. You don't fit in down here. You don't fit in around here, do you? Don't you just, the world's getting worse every day. Remember what I said a while ago about when you watch the news a little bit, you're just like, it ain't going to get no better. It's going to get worse and worse. Imagine what the next 20, 30 years are going to be like. It'll get worse, worse. But guess what? There's something going on somewhere else. There's a place being built. There's construction going on somewhere else. He's preparing a residence for us. And where we're going, there ain't gonna be no craziness going on like they are here. Amen. Amen? There's a residence being prepared, and there ain't gonna be no two men walking around holding hands and getting married. There ain't gonna be no rap music and stuff like that, you know. Amen. Ain't gonna be none of that crazy stuff. Ain't gonna be none of that weird stuff. There's gonna be a residence, there's gonna be a reunion. Well, we're gonna finally get to hook up with our old loved ones again. We're gonna get to see your mama and your daddy, your grandma and your grandpa, all those old people from the Word of God that you read about all those years. Hey, don't you ever think about that when you read about them? Don't you ever think what's gonna be like just get to meet them? It ain't a fairy tale. Them ain't fictional people. They're actually walking around over there. You're gonna walk up and meet them face to face. Walk up and shake their hand. Shake the hand of the man that took a job on an ass and killed all them people. What was that like, dude? I mean, really? Walk up and talk to David and Daniel and Samson, all them people? I mean, really? There's going to be a residence and a reunion. He's preparing a return. The more we go through here, the more we think about over there and the less we think about here. Older you get, the closer you get, the more you think about that place and the less you think about this place. Here's what I've heard people say before. I've heard people say, this is one of them cliches that people think it sounds spiritual, but it really don't. It sounds corny. This is one of them cliches people say that sounds corny to me, but they think it sounds real spiritual. They say, it's not the destination that matters, it's the journey. But that don't make any sense, because if it wasn't a destination, there wouldn't be a point of a journey. Without a destination, what is a journey? It's a man walking around in a circle, ain't it? If you didn't have a finish line, Brother Jeff, would there be a point in having a race? There wouldn't be no point. That's senseless mentality. Because if you was in Canada and you got in your car to go home and there wasn't no home to go to, what would be the point of getting in the car? There ain't nowhere to go. Just rambling around. The whole point of a trip is to get somewhere. Man, every trip I've ever been on, you ever notice when you go somewhere, it seems like it takes longer to get back? It takes longer to get home. I don't know why. We was up there a couple weeks ago and coming back. Going up there took like 6 hours. Coming back took 4 days. Don't it? Gosh. What did you do? Take a wrong turn? It takes long. You know why? You're wanting to get home so bad. You just want to get home so bad. Going up there, you're like, oh boy, we're going on vacation. But coming home, you're like, man, how many more miles is it? Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait till we cross South Carolina line. Oh, boy, we're going to cross South Carolina. Can't wait to hit the Georgia state line. Oh, boy, we got 2 more hours to go. Oh, we're in Augusta now. And that's the longest. Me and Debbie's talking about that. The longest stretch of a trip is that last hour. When we was driving back and forth down here before we moved down here, when we hit Uvalde, that's 340 miles from Uvalde to here, it seems like. That stretch of country through there is awful. I still hate going through there now. I don't go that way no more. I hate it. From right there to here, whew, gosh, it's awful. Ain't it? Because you're almost home. Usually be that way. We was going back home the other way. We'd get almost our house through the country that last 20 miles. Good. And that's why you feel the way you do when you get close to heaven. You want to get there so bad. Every time you see the news and they pass some new crazy law and the Supreme Court does something that's just unthinkable, you're like, oh, Lord, I can't wait. And you come around another curve and you see the finish line, you think, I can't wait till we get there. Right? One word keeps us going, and that's home. And there's going to be a reward. Why don't you listen to them sing this song this morning? Stand, if you will, with me. Listen to this song. He thought about you above all. You think about this song this morning. If the Lord's touched your heart, you need to pray. I want you to come to this altar and give it all to Him. Heavenly Father, help us not to be troubled. Help us to think about these things I've preached on this morning, Lord. Help us to put it in your hands. Help us not to fret, not to worry, but to trust in you. Lord, we know that we're living in troublesome, perilous times. Lord, we know that you've got it all under control and it's all in your hands. Bless this invitation this morning, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. While they sing. All the ways of men.
crucified, then laid behind a stone. He lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. He took the fall.
Appreciate you being here. Those of you that's visiting, we're glad to have you. Hope you enjoyed being here as much as we enjoyed having you here. Amen. Come back anytime. Come back tonight at 6. Don't forget, young people will be here at 4:45, and the regular choir, old people. No, regular choir, 5:15. All right? 4:45, is that right, for young people? And 5:15 for regular choir practice. And everybody else at 6. Man, y'all confuse me. All right. Brother Jeff, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?